Well, joining us now.
Very exciting.
Yes. She is a South Carolina grad and an LPGA Tour player, Katie Burnett. Katie, welcome into the golf shop.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good. How are things these days out on the LPGA?
They're pretty good. Can't complain.
You know, you've had some success this year. A couple of top 20s, made a bunch of cuts, making some decent money out there, kind of hanging around. What's the one thing that if you get working good for you is going to put you over the top, get you at the top of the leaderboard? I was looking at a bunch of your stats, and, you know, you're kind of middle of the road and everything, not really doing anything bad, doing a bunch of things decent. Give me a feel for what the state of your game is right now.
It just depends on the week, honestly. You know, I feel like if I got my ball striking a little better, I've been putting really well lately, so I definitely could, you know, play better if I was striking it a little better.
So when you go to the range or to the practice facility, what are you working on sort of week to week? I mean, we ask a lot of our players out here that if you had an hour, just an hour, not more, just an hour, how would you divide your time spent?
Well, I don't know how many tour pros just work an hour. But,
oh, I know, but I'm limiting you to an hour. So
he's putting restrictions on it.
I'm asking the question, so I win.
Probably 20 minutes on the range, 20 minutes putting, and 20 minutes on short game.
And when you're on the range, what are you starting with? Are you starting with mid irons? Are you starting with wedges? Do you hit any drivers
wedges
typically?
Well, yes, I would. But I start with my wedges. I spend the majority of my time on my wedges and then short irons and then hit a couple long irons and hit a couple drivers.
All right. So when you were back in 2012, you won Q School Stage 2, finished 25th in finals after some time out on the Symetra Tour. What was the jump like from 2012 and the Symetra Tour going out to 2013 and playing on the LPGA Tour? What were some of the obstacles that you felt like you needed to overcome in jumping up from one tour to the other?
Well, I had conditional status, so I wasn't really sure of what events I was going to get into, mm-hmm. And what events I was going to play in. So I mainly based my schedule off of the European Tour. And based off of a schedule of someone who had conditional status the previous year and what events they played in. So I made sure that those weeks were off in order to play in those events. And if I didn't get in them, to Monday qualify. So, I mean, I kind of went out with not much expectation having conditional status because I had no idea how many events I would play in. And right out of the gates, my first event, I finished 11th. So immediately when I was reshuffled to get into the rest of the events, rest of the full field events that season. So, at the time, you know, I was just trying to make enough money to keep my card. And I really wasn't concerned about, you know, you learn stuff as you go kind of. So, at the time, I was just mainly stressed about keeping my card.
And you really didn't have the flexibility or the control to set your own schedule, correct? I mean, it was really week. I mean, almost week to week, right?
In the beginning, yes.
Yeah.
After my first event on the LPGA and the reshuffle, I was able to figure out what I was doing, you know, week to week after that.
And what about the challenge of having to hire a caddy? I mean, did you go out and audition people, and what kind of skills are you looking for, personalities do you look for? And the fact that, you know, if you hired a full-time caddy, you now were a full-time employer of another human being whose ability to put food on the table was in many ways relying on you. I mean, how is that transition?
You know, when I first came out, I used a lot of friends. I didn't really know what I would be looking for in a caddy, so that's kind of evolved as I've grown as a professional. So basically what I look for now is I look for someone with a lot of personality who can talk. I like somebody to talk to me, particularly when I'm not playing well, and that tends to be hard for people to do if someone's not playing well because they kind of don't know what to say or don't know what the right things to say. And for me, it's not about what's the right thing to say. It's just to say something. You know, like I could have just made double. And if you say, hey, you know, what did you do for dinner last night? I'm going to respond and I'm going to talk to you. But the longer you keep me without saying anything, you know, I kind of go inward and I start thinking way too much about what happened, how I did that, you know. So I really like somebody who talks a lot. And then I prefer a player, someone who's played golf at a competitive level at some time or another. That doesn't mean they had to be a professional, but at least a collegiate player, because I feel like a person who was a player at one point gets certain shots that maybe somebody else, they may be a great caddy, but they wouldn't allow you to do certain things. As a player who is a caddy will allow other players to do certain things that maybe somebody else wouldn't, because they see that shot. They understand, okay, yeah, you could hit that shot, or, you know, yes, this is the right time to hit that shot, or no, this is not the right time to hit that shot, as opposed to always saying no, don't do that. So I like, you know, I really like a person who was a player at some point. And those are basically my only two requirements.
So in terms of the discussion that you and your caddy are having in between shots or in between holes, it's more, are you looking for a distraction? Are you looking for maybe something constructive, or it really just doesn't matter as long as it's conversation to kind of keep things going, keep you occupied?
I'm looking for more of a distraction.
Yeah.
I look for, you know, if you're going to play, if you're going to shoot, let's just pick a random number, 70. I'm going to shoot 70 tomorrow. I'm going to take 30 seconds per shot. We could go ahead and say 45. I'm a fast player, but say 45 seconds per shot, and that's discussion and everything, and then me hitting my ball. In those 45 seconds, it's all about golf. It's all about what we're doing, what our game plan is, where we're going to hit it, the number, you know, the release of the green, club selection, wind, all of that is in that 45 seconds, and I'm going to hit my shot. So if I shoot 70 and I play a five-hour round of golf, I'm only thinking about golf for maybe, you know, 50 minutes or an hour or something like that. So the other 4 hours, I don't want to be discussing golf. I want to be talking about something else. I want to be distracted. I want to be having a good time out there.
Well, we're talking to Katie Burnett, LPGA player and proud USC alum, and we're talking about caddies, and we're talking about relationships, and obviously caddy relationships have been in the news lately, and I think what you're saying about the relationship you expect with your caddy is sort of interesting, and we've had the argument here on the show about, okay, there's the keep up and shut up, and there's the you're entitled to an opinion but not a vote mentality, and then there's a point at which you should just leave your player alone. Do you have a sense for that when you're out there with someone? If they say, hey, I'm thinking this is, you know, this is a 7 for you, and you go 8, and they, is that the time when they need to shut up, or are they allowed to say, no, I think it's a 7?
It just depends on the communication you have with your caddy. Typically, I explain to my caddies when I first hire them, this is how I work, this is how I communicate, so... If I am in between clubs, I will say, do you think it's a 7 or an 8? That means I believe that both shots will work, but I'm asking you which you think is better for the specific shot. If I say, do you think it's a 7? I don't think it's any other club. And it'd be very hard for you to convince me that it will be another club.
Right.
And if you can, it's someone will have to really give me the reasons why. You can't just say, oh, I think it's an 8.
All right.
I'll say, well, that's not my gut feeling, and I'm the one who's hitting it. So say, I think it's an 8 because this, this, and this, then, okay, maybe I'll consider it.
Right. But you're still fired. Well, and it's curious to me that you talk about enjoying some distraction and someone who's a bit of a conversationalist. I mean, I imagine there's a fine line, and you're not on the couch here with Oprah Winfrey or anything, but I imagine there's a fine line between sort of distraction, it's a conversation about what you had for dinner last night, and something that could seem so random that it throws off your concentration. I mean, what kinds of conversations might take you out of the moment or out of your happy place?
Or maybe just Mike's questions?
Yeah, maybe just apparently I just asked one, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just, you know, because I love the idea of what'd you have for dinner last night, but, you know, if it's, hey, I went to the Foo Fighters last weekend, and did you see what Dave Grohl did on YouTube, is that too far afield? Or is it, is anything with inbounds?
No, you can, maybe for some players, but for me, you can talk to me about anything. I mean, plenty of times my caddy and myself, my current caddy, was a former LPGA player. She has no filter whatsoever. And she normally, a couple times she's had me laughing so hard I could barely hit my shot. So I had to back off because I was actually in tears. I was laughing so hard. But I like that. I really like to enjoy myself when I play because I've always had the attitude, if I'm not enjoying myself, what's the point? What's the point of being out here? So if I'm out there, I would prefer to be smiling and laughing and having somebody make me laugh and then be serious, like I said, for those 45 seconds. The rest of the time, we can discuss anything. And I mean anything.
All right, Katie, before we let you go, what's on tap for the rest of the LPGA season, and what kind of goals do you have for the rest of the season?
Well, we have we're playing in the Canadian Women's Open this week, and then next week we play in Alabama. We have a week off, and then we play the Evian Masters, which is our last major of the year. And then it starts the Asian swing. So you have to be in the top 60 on the money list to get into the Asian events because they're invitationals. Obviously, that's a goal of mine to get into the Asian events. I just really would like to finish out the season and have a couple good weeks. I've been playing really well at the beginning of a tournament. I just haven't finished one yet, and I'd like to finish one. I've been like in the top 10 going into the last day a couple times and not finished very well. So my main goal is just to finish one, to play well for 4 days in a row. And like I said, get into Asia and then have a really good off season.
Well, the good news is the majority of the players that come on the Golf Shop Radio Show get a nice bump, and they start playing really good. So you have that to look forward to. But
perfect.
Yeah, there you
go. I should have called in sooner.
I know, definitely. Don't tell anybody else, though.
Okay, well.
All right, well, Katie, we really appreciate you hopping on with us tonight, and we look forward to watching you rise up the leaderboard.
Well, thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks.